Just five words, and boys and girls, that'll be easy for you to remember tonight. Just five words. You've got a hand, haven't you? Or I hope you've got two hands. But if you take your hand, and there you've got the five fingers, and here's a verse tonight that you can remember by the fingers of your hand. Five words for your five fingers. I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean. The wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, of course, he spoke these words to a leper. A man who was suffering from an illness. And it was a terrible illness. My leprosy was, I suppose you would say it was like cancer today. The equivalent to cancer today. A disease that there was no known cure for. And of course today there's a lot of money is being pumped into cancer research. And we're thankful for those who give to cancer charities. And our prayer is that before very long that there finally be an antidote, a cure discovered for this awful disease. And so here's the leper. He comes to Jesus, he's got this terrible disease. It's not only a terrible disease, it's a terminal disease. It's a terminal illness, because this illness, if the leper wasn't cured, it was going to take his life from him. And so here's a man, he comes to the Lord Jesus, and he's desperate. You know, it's always good when you get a soul that's desperate. That's a soul that's sure to be saved, when they're desperate to be cleansed from their sins. The problem today is that there's very few people who are desperate to be forgiven, desperate to be saved. But here's a man who was desperate. Now let's get down to the text and to the scriptures, because it tells us there in verse 12 that this man that Jesus spoke to, he was full of leprosy. Behold, a man full of leprosy. Those three words are very important. Full of leprosy. The man was riddled with leprosy. Do you know that reminds me of every person who's out of Christ, without a Savior, they're riddled with sin. I'm not a theologian, but according to the theologians, they have a phrase called total depravity. Total depravity. And I believe it. Oh, every bit of it. There are other doctrines that now I would question and I don't believe, and I would find hard to believe, but this is one doctrine that I'd have no problem with, total depravity. What it just means is that every part of us is fallen and sinful. Every part of the human being, every part of every person who lives on planet Earth is fallen and depraved. It's just like Jeremiah chapter 17 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you see, we're all full of sin. It was Charles Wesley who penned the great hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul. And I was talking about funeral hymns earlier. Now, I have no intention of doing myself in or anything like that, so don't be getting worried. But if I had to pick funeral hymns, here's another one that would go down on the list. Jesus, lover of my soul. But you notice in verse 3 what Charles Wesley says. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. Now this is the part I want you to latch on to. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. The old redemption hymnal puts it even better. It says, vile and full of sin I am. Not sure why the Songs of Victory changed it to false and full of sin. Maybe making us out to be a wee bit better than we are. But friends, whether you say false or vile, the reality is we're full of sin. Just like the old leper was full of his leprosy, so we are full of sin. 100%. It's not 75% or even 99%. And we've got a wee bit of good. No, it's total depravity. Total sin. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, we are sinners through and through. Now, if you're not a Christian tonight, and I mean, I'm just making an educated guess that the vast majority of people here this evening are saved and you're in Christ. But if there's anyone who's gone under the radar and you're not a believer and you've heard me say tonight that you're full of sin, that should make you desperate. Boy, that should make you serious about seeking the Savior. Yes, this leper was full of leprosy. His case was desperate. But you know, I'm glad the Lord Jesus specializes in desperate cases. And the more sinful you feel yourself to be tonight, well, the greater the chance is that you'll be saved. You see, there's one aspect of leprosy that I've got to touch on tonight, and I want to touch on it. Do you know, lepers couldn't feel pain. Many parts of the body had become numb. And if you had taken a fork or a pin or a needle to that part of the body and you pricked the leper, he wouldn't have felt it. There was no feeling. Totally numb. You know, dear friends, isn't it so sad that there are people like that today, spiritually, they're numb. They have no feeling of their sin. They don't feel their sinfulness in God's sight. They don't have any feeling about their uncleanness in God's sight. They just don't feel their lostness. They don't feel their hopeless estate. And preacher after preacher preaches to them, and they hear gospel message after gospel message, but the preacher might as well be talking to the back wall, because they don't feel their sinfulness. We talk about conviction. But friends, let's face it today, for some reason or other, there's just about no conviction. Or very little conviction. Now, I don't know why that is, and don't ask me to explain the reason for that, but the reality I believe today is that there's very little or no conviction, zero conviction whatsoever. That's why you have a week of prayer. So that souls will begin to feel the pangs of their lost condition. You know what we need more than anything today? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said this. We need an avalanche of conviction. An avalanche of conviction. And we need it not only in the services, but we need it in our own homes, in the workplace, out on the street, on the farm, in the office, in the shop, in the schools. Boy, we need an avalanche of conviction. And maybe the Lord in His mercy will send it to us. But that's why we're having a week of prayer. And I know that life's busy. And I appreciate that. And I know that there's some of you good folk, and you're going to pull out the stops this week, and you're going to make an effort to be in the prayer meeting, and there's 101 things that need done at home. And I appreciate that. But, dear friends, there's no better place to be in than in the place of prayer. And so we're going to meet to pray for God's work, that there'd be this tidal wave of conviction, that sinners would begin to feel
the pain. It's a frightening thing when you begin to feel it. Those of you who are saved tonight, you know what it's like, because you've been there. I remember the night the Lord really struck me down with conviction. I was at university, wasn't in a meeting, a service of any description. I was staying in my digs that night. But that particular night, I can remember, boy, I was sure that I was headed for hell. In fact, I was, if I can put it like this, I felt as if I was about to drop into hell. And I remember that night, and it was just as if the Holy Spirit had said, "There's no more hope for you. You've stepped over the line." And you know, the lights just came on. And I just began to realize how lost I was and how sinful I was. And I remember the first thing I did that night was to pick up the phone, and I phoned my brother. And he didn't appreciate getting a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. But he was saved, and he talked me through the gospel over the phone. And I remember he quoted a lovely verse from Mark's Gospel, "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto the sons of men." And you know, that was just like cool water to a thirsty soul that night for me. You know, conviction is a wonderful thing. It was old Spurgeon who said that you've got to feel the needle of conviction before you can have the silk of the gospel. So here was the old leper. He comes to Christ in spite of being full of leprosy. You see, that's what we want souls to do. We want souls to not to despair. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're lost or you're backslidden, we don't want you to despair and to be so overwhelmed by conviction of sin that you just give up and say that there's no hope for me. We want you to do what the leper did. He came to Christ. Now, let's consider not only the leper, but let's think about the master. Because after all, he's the one who said these words that we're thinking about tonight. "I will be thou clean." But before the Lord Jesus spoke these words to the leper, he did something. He touched him. You notice that? Verse 13. At the start of the verse, notice what it says, "And he put forth his hand and touched him." And you can just imagine the crowd standing around. He touched him. He's going to be contaminated. He's going to become a leper now. But that's not what happened. The Lord Jesus touched the man, but he remained perfectly healthy and perfectly clean. But you know, there's something wonderful about the fact that Jesus would touch that man. It shows us the kindness of the Lord Jesus, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes as Christians, we're not always very tender and not always very kind. But the Lord Jesus is tender and he's kind. And he shows this loving kindness and this tenderness by reaching out and touching this poor old leper. You see, nobody ever would have even dreamt of touching this man. And the leper himself, he couldn't touch anybody else. Imagine not being able to shake hands with anybody. Now, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, I go to the door and shake your hand. But the leper couldn't shake anybody's hand. And of course, I suppose shaking hands is the kind of thing that people do every day, isn't it? We do it every day. It's a greeting when you meet someone, you shake their hand. Should they even do it in a football match? I think the whole thing's it's a cod, it's a joke. At the start of all these Premier League football matches, the march back and forward, shaking the hands of the other team. Isn't that the practice? That's the custom now.
They're shaking their hands, and I'm sure some of the boys are ready to fight with each other. But yet they have to do this, to shake the hand before the match starts. Of course, the whole thing's choreographed, and it's all just set up. But the leper couldn't shake anybody's hand. The leper couldn't hold anybody's hand. You know how you hold the hand of your wee son or your wee daughter? Your child. Or go on, admit it, men, you sometimes hold the hand of your wife. And you wives sometimes hold the hand of your husband, don't you? Ah, go on, you do. You're not that bad yet. The poor leper, if he was married, he couldn't hold the hand of his wife. He couldn't even be near his wife. He couldn't get into bed beside his wee child at night and cuddle up to them and help them to get to sleep. That's something that happens in our house quite frequently. The wee ones, sometimes, quite often, they find it hard to get over to sleep. And daddy or mummy has to jump in. Snuggle up, we call it. And you cuddle up to the wee ones and help them to get over to sleep. And sometimes daddy or mummy falls over to sleep before the wee ones. But isn't it good to be able just to touch and to cuddle and to hug? But the leper couldn't hug anybody, and nobody could hug the leper. But the Lord Jesus, he just overrides all of this and all the rules and all the prohibitions, and he reaches out and he touches this poor man. And the Lord Jesus still touches people today. I believe that Jesus still touches people today. Do you know how he touches people? This book. This book is how people are touched by Christ today. I'm not into all this charismatic claptrap about all these experiences that people have with the Lord. Mystical, sensational experiences. You know how it is. They call it carpet time. Falling and rolling about all over the floor. And these great experiences with the Lord. Well, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want it. Because the Lord touches me with this book. And as I read this book, and as I consider and study this book, he reaches out and he touches me. And isn't that what he does on the Sunday morning, on the Sunday evening, Thursday evening, in your own quiet time at home, as you study the word, as you know how the cows chew the cud. And that's what we as Christians should do. Chew over this book, meditate upon it. And the Lord touches us. I pray the Lord will touch you tonight. That the Lord will strengthen you tonight. Because the Lord is still able to touch. But then the Lord speaks to the man. So he touches, he puts forth his hand and he touches the leper. And then he speaks to him. I will be thou clean. You see, the leper has come to the Savior. And he says to the Savior, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That old leper with the marks of leprosy from head to foot. And he looked hideous, no doubt. But I tell you, he knew one thing. He knew that Jesus could heal him. Oh, there was no doubt in the leper's mind about the ability of Christ. But it was whether Christ was willing to heal him. It was whether Christ was prepared to heal him. And of course, the Lord Jesus removed any doubts immediately right away. He says, I will. I will. In other words, I am willing to heal you. I want to heal you. Do you know, isn't it good that the Lord Jesus is willing and that he wants to save poor sinners? Yes, in 2016, with all our lack of conviction, with all our irreverence and our godlessness and blasphemy in our society today and all the
perversions and all the rebellion against Almighty God, isn't it so good that He still wants to save sinners today? My, how patient He is. He wants to save souls, and He can save souls because He gives the command here, be thou clean. My, we're reminded here of how the Lord Jesus Christ stood in Genesis 1 and He said, let there be light. And there was light. And all the let be's and all the commands in Genesis 1 and this universe came into existence. The same person is standing here in Luke chapter 5 and He's giving another command. It's to the leper, be thou clean. And the leprosy departs from him immediately. Immediately. And he's clean. It's very interesting that the leper didn't ask to be healed. He asked to be made clean. It's very interesting that the Lord Jesus didn't say, be thou healed. Or be thou cured. He said, be thou clean. You see, friends, there's a great lesson for us in that tonight, that our greatest need is to be cleansed from our sins. Our greatest need is not to be healthy, although the Lord is able to give us health and the Lord is able to heal. I've repeated that time and time again. But dear friends, let me say this, and let me say it categorically. There is no point having a healthy body and ending up in hell. Because there's a lot of churches and a lot of places today, and all the emphasis is on the healing. And I believe, and I honestly believe, that there's a whole raft of people, and they've been healed physically, but they're still on their way to hell. And there's a whole lot of people, unless the Lord steps in and opens their eyes and saves their souls, there's a whole lot of people, and they're even going to places of worship today. And yes, they've been healed, but they're not saved from sin. They're not cleansed from sin. And they're still on the way to hell. And sure, what's the point having a healthy body if your soul is lost and headed for hell? Oh, the priority is the cleansing of the soul. And it's gloriously possible to be cleansed. We have been singing tonight the hymns. Every hymn has spoken about cleansing. It's possible for sinners to be cleansed. It's possible for backsliders to be cleansed. It's possible even for us as believers to be cleansed. If you've wandered and gone astray, you've been disloyal to your Lord, and you've gone back to the, as Peter put it, to the mire, like the sow, the pig wallowing in the mire, like the dog that returns to its vomit. We have to confess that as Christians, there are times we've done that. But thank God there's cleansing. We can come back to the Lord for cleansing. And you see, the Lord is able to cleanse us afresh. And so this great miracle takes place. The leper is healed. And Jesus speaks these marvelous words, I will be thou clean. But just as we finish, I want you to notice what it tells us in verse 16. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Tomorrow night, we're going to withdraw ourselves into the wilderness and pray. this week we're going to go to the wilderness and we're going to pray. We're going to be like the Savior. Because prayer is so important. And some people say prayer gets you ready for the work. I disagree. Prayer is the work. Some people say prayer is preparation for the work. I disagree. Prayer is the work. And the Lord Jesus is the greatest example of prayer. But tonight, let me finish off with a word to those who are not saved. Might be a younger person, an older person, but in your heart of hearts, you know that you haven't been cleansed from your sins. Just this last week, there was one night, it's funny how the things that happen to you. You know what it's like when you sit down at the end of the day and you're kind of starting to nod off? And the worst thing to do when you're starting to nod off is to get yourself a glass of cold water and start to drink it. Because I sat down this week at the end, not sure what day it was, just sat down at the end of the day to have a wee drink of water. And guess what happened? I was sitting down, holding the glass of water, took a wee sip of it, and then nodded off. And woke up very abruptly as most of the glass of water went down the leg of my trousers. And whenever I woke up, it kind of took me about 5 seconds to come to. You know what it's like when you kind of fall into a deep trance or sleep and you wake up with a jolt and it takes you a wee while to sort of get your bearings and to realize that you're still in the land of the living. It took me 5 or 10 seconds to sort of come to. But I tell you, when I felt the water going down my leg, it definitely wakened me up. But you know, dear friends, my prayer for you is, for those of you in the meeting tonight and you're lost, and you haven't been cleansed of your sins and you're headed for hell. You've got a healthy body, but your soul is lost and your soul is contaminated and your soul is full of the leprosy of sin. And up to this point, you're fast asleep, spiritually speaking. My prayer is that the Lord will wake you up. That whatever He has to do, that He will waken you up. Awake thou that sleepest, Paul said, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.